For a couple of years, it's really been upon my heart that when we got to this point of an active pastoral search transition, that there are two series of messages that I should preach. I believe I have a leading on what I should preach between now and next July. Not every Sunday, but in the broad stroke. One of those is the moral law, and that's where we're at right now in our series of messages leading us to Thanksgiving. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 20 together. Exodus chapter 20. There's one other major series, and you'll have to be here in February to pick up on that one, okay? Exodus chapter 20. And let's stand, please, as we honor the word this morning. Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Thank you. You may be seated. Two Johns Hopkins University Medical School researchers did an extensive study involving 1,337 medical school graduates. They wanted to find out if there was a common denominator, a common factor, to predict five things in a person's life. You see them: suicide, mental illness, hypertension, coronary heart disease, and malignant tumors. They found one and only one factor: the lack of closeness to one's parents. In other words, if you don't have or didn't have a close, intimate relationship with mom and dad, or mom or dad, you have a much greater probability of these five disorders. Now you look at these and you say, why? Do you see a common thread in these five? Almost all of them, if not all of them, can be related to stress. The doctors concluded that a good relationship with mom and dad helps you deal with stress. Now, stress works both ways. There was a couple whose son was a sophomore in college, and he had caused them more than a bit of heartache and trouble in high school, in the adolescent years. So mom and dad were on a trip to Europe, and while they were there, they sent him this note: Dear son, we are now standing high on a cliff where the ancient Greek women once hurled their defective children to the rocks below. Wish you were here. When you peruse the moral law, you discover that only one human relationship is addressed. Not spouse, not brothers or sisters, but one's parents. The fifth commandment is freighted with strong emotion, positive and negative. And as we talk about it this morning, I want you to be aware that I am very aware of that. One young woman referred to her dad as the man who never was. Parents are sometimes abusive, narcissistic, absent. Now, this law is transitional. There is an overlap. A 1 through 4 on the first tablet recognizes God's authority and having respect for Him. The final five written on the second tablet deals with how we relate to each other. The first four, our relationship to God. The last six, our relationship with those Jesus called our neighbor. The priority of this priority, command among the list of 10 is seen in the fact that it is the only commandment that in the entire Bible giving a reason for observing it. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. This command is so important that on several occasions in the New Testament, it is repeated and expanded. We think, for example, of Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Loving other people, catch the list, starts with family. Augustine asked rhetorically, if someone fails to love his parents, is there anyone he will spare? Now, we are more comfortable with this. Maybe you settle back just a bit in your chair as we read verse 12. We're a bit more comfortable with this one than maybe idols or... And I tell you that I am more comfortable in preaching some of the commandments than other of the commandments. But we may feel a bit more comfortable because we think this one is addressed to children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, Paul said. But I assure you, this is not a commandment for children, and this is not children's church in the midst of the moral law. Like the other nine, it's an ocean of meaning in a puddle of words. The family is God's idea. The jumping on place here is to recognize that God means for a child to have a father and a mother. And that goes far deeper than physiology. It's psychological, it's emotional differences that these two bring to parenting. This law has an irrefutable domino effect. We pick up immediately that as we look at it, that the family is the foundation block of any culture and all cultures. Any government that discourages time-honored principles of marriage, that places roadblocks in the path of family flourishing and disparages the rearing of children by two parents, writes a nation's obituary. Abraham Lincoln had a very striking parable about a man on trial for murdering his parents. He then threw himself upon the mercy of the court, claiming he was an orphan. Historians refer to the 1960s as, quote, the generation that destroyed the American family. One writer who participated in the 60s, as some of us did, said this: we might not have been able to tear down the state, but the family was closer. We could not get our hands on it, We truly believe that the family had to be torn apart to free love. And the step was to tear ourselves from our parents. A generation or so later, the bitter fruit is evident everywhere we look. When individuals or a society dishonor father and mother, they orphan themselves. Strong families mean strong communities. Strong communities mean strong cultures. Strong cultures mean strong countries. And strong countries make strong civilizations. Now, our approach for a few moments this morning is to ask this text three questions. Why or what does it mean to honor the commandment? Why should one honor one's parents? And then how does one honor them? The original verb translated honor is literally a very heavy word. It means weighty. The Old Testament uses it a number of times in speaking of the glory of God, the weightiness, or we might say the significance of His divine majesty. To honor one's parents is to give due weight to their God-given authority. To respect, value, esteem, and prize mom and dad as gifts from God. Now, obviously, this charge is practiced in different ways, in different and at different life stages. When you are at home, let's start there. When you are at home, under their authority, mom and dad, mom or dad, you honor them by obeying them with an attitude and responses that please the Lord. Now, be aware of something. We know, at least in part, the tremendous onslaught of media and technology and all, or at least in part, some of what is communicated concerning the family and concerning parents. How about this? The cover of a magazine for teenage girls asks, "Do you really hate your parents? Like, who doesn't?" The cover article offers advice on, quote, how to deal with your detestable. That's the day in which we live. Kids, I want to make you a promise. As you grow older, you'll look back with a deep appreciation for mom and dad, mom or dad, for the guidelines they set, the love and patience they had in assuring you had a good foundation. If I see you in Walmart 10 years from now, I want you to say, "Pastor, you were right." Right now, you may not see any rhyme or reason for a particular rule or guideline. You may feel hedged in. Well, why? My friends are allowed to do that. They're a Christian family. I don't see. You know what one of the problems is with being 14, 15, 16 years of age? Think about it. You don't know what you don't know. You know, boy, you're confident. Boy, you just got this thing figured out. Oh, my. Mom and dad have been called by God to build your character, and they are passionate about sparing you the consequences and hard lessons they learned. A 2012 study of teens in the internet showed an alarming trend. Parents aren't engaged with the online activity of their kids, yet they believe the opposite to be true. 71% of teens, up from 45% just 2 years before, have taken action to hide their online activity from parents. 48% of parents believe their teens tell them everything they do in cyberspace, half. 33% of teens admit to watching pornography on the internet. Only 10% of parents are aware of it. 22% of teens have cheated on a test using their mobile phones. And teens spend 5 hours per day online. Parents guess that figure is 3 hours. Here's the conclusion of the study. Quote, "Parents must be jolted out of their complacency. A huge gap exists between what teens are doing online and what parents really know." Are we getting it? To honor father and mother is to hold them in high esteem, to listen to them, to obey them, to relate to them with honesty and integrity. It begins there. God says, when you obey mom and dad, you obey me. Now, let's move to a second category of individuals here today. After leaving home, you honor parents by considering them, consulting with them, by valuing their experience and advice. Now, does that mean you always follow their advice? Yes or no? Did you hear the question? Does that mean you always follow their advice? Yes or no? No. When you move out of their home, go to the military, go to school, get married, your position changes from a position of obedience to a position of counsel. You know, when you think about it, it really makes sense, doesn't it? Who would not want to hear the counsel of an individual who's a generation ahead of them? Who would not listen to and receive well-meaning counsel, be open to praying together and to discuss options before making a decision? But the decision is yours to make. And parents and in-laws, we're placed in a position to be invited, to wait to be invited in. Sometimes it involves biting your tongue, and that is not easy. When they make their decisions, then you don't give them grief. They are their decisions to make. There's one more group. And that is, you honor parents in old age by caring for them. They sacrificed for you, maybe they didn't. But God has given you a unique ministry at this stage of your life and theirs. And it's a challenging ministry. It's a complicated stage for everybody involved. And you know what makes it more difficult is when siblings are not on the same page. Decisions. Home care, assisted care, nursing home care. A nursing home supervisor was asked, how many of the patients have children who come to see them at least a few times a year? The answer, about 30%. 1 Timothy 5:8, the message. Anyone who neglects to care for family members in need repudiates the faith. That's worse than refusing to believe in the first place. So why do I honor God? To honor God is to honor parents. To honor parents is to honor God. Let's look at the third question. How do I obey this commandment? I want to get a little specific here, really. I could deal with all three. But I want to talk about those of you who, you're growing up in your family. You're growing up in mom or dad or mom or dad's home. I want to suggest to you four proven principles that will help you to live out this command. You ready? Got them? Got the listening guide in front of you? The first one, I've touched on this. I want to take it a step further. You honor father and mother by humble obedience. You are different in your attitude. You are different in even the actions of your peers. The best thing you may need to do at this stage in your life is get some new friends. The Apostle Paul looked around at a dying Roman culture. The Roman family was miserable. And you know what he said? The kids are disobedient to parents. If you plan to please the Lord and escape misery, that means humble obedience. Now, what are the implications of that for you today? A second thing, honoring father and mother means respecting them. If you ask a parent in America, what do you want for your children? The number one answer will be, I want them to be happy. If you ask a parent in Asia, China, Japan, North Korea, that one fits. What do you want for your children? You know what you hear them say? I want them to be happy. If you ask a Christian parent, what do you want for your children? They will reply, I want them to walk with the Lord and to walk with me. What they mean is, my number one hope is that my kids, my son, my daughter, that they will honor the Lord and me by embracing truth and living it out in their lives. To join with us, to join with me in living lives of significance. To model what it means to know and to serve Jesus Christ. Isn't that true, Christian parents? That's your hope. That is your prayer. Now, let's take this one step further. Let me suggest, and let's get creative here. As you see, I'm suggesting four things. There may be 10, okay? But I'm suggesting four things in passing, four specific ways to show love and respect. One, have you thought about writing notes or sending a text of appreciation to mom or dad, even if you're an adult? This is special. Some years ago, I was really thinking about this. I think it was in a devotional time. And I said, you know, it's been a long time since I told mom and dad what they invested in me. And so I just got out a note card and I wrote a note and I dropped it in the mail. And I felt so good about that. Several days later, I was talking to mom and she said, you know, son, she said, we got your note. And she said, but we're not sure what it said. We left-handers, we are handicapped. Let me tell you, we're handicapped. And I said, well, Mom, it was good. It was good. Notes, texts, special occasions, no particular occasion, just letting them know that you appreciate the sacrifice they have made are making, the principles they model. Second, words to friends. Let me share this, what one boy said to a friend. I'm really worried. Dad slaves at his job so that I'll never want for anything, and so I can go to college. Mom, a homemaker, she spends every day washing, ironing, and cleaning up after me, and she really takes care of me when I'm sick. And the other kid said, well, what are you worried about? Well, I'm afraid they may try to escape. Express your appreciation to your friends. It's a sign of maturity. Don't get caught up in whining and complaining. When you honor your parents with your words among friends, it just may get back to one of them. Third, honoring your mom and dad means understanding them. One day, you will have responsibility of providing for yourself. Job, insurance, apartment, a house, running a household. Someday you may have kids of your own and you'll say, wow, I had no idea. You need to know, kids, it's never been more difficult to raise kids than it is right now. Never been more difficult. I want to encourage you. I want to look at you eye to eye and heart to heart. Don't make that difficult. Don't make rearing you a burden. Make it a joy. You know, don't be a spoiled brat or a prima donna who thinks the world revolves around you. Okay? Understand them. Well, let's go one step lower. Okay? You have a listening guide, so we're not getting lost this morning. Here are some rules for understanding your parents. One, don't be afraid to speak their language. Use strange phrases like, I'll help with the dishes. I'll put them in the dishwasher. I'll sit with the younger kids so the two of you can go out together. Sure, I'll be happy to mow the grass. Oh, Mom, I'll run that errand for you. Oh, I'll give you a back rub. Be patient with the underachiever. If you catch your dieting mom sneaking a candy bar, then don't show your disapproval. Tell her you love fat mom. Encourage your parents to talk about their concerns and their problems. Even as an older teen and certainly as a young adult, you can be a tremendous encouragement. You can listen with understanding. You can offer support, and you need to do that. One more. You honor your father and mother when you love and pray for them. A hug, a kiss, a touch. Pray for their walk with the Lord. Pray for them as a couple, that they will love each other. Pray that they will experience joy in parenting. Okay? Now, there is a promise from God. Why should I obey the commandment? That your day may be long in the land. Paul calls this the first commandment with promise. The land, of course, is the promised land. That in the Jewish mind was commensurate with, it was synonymous with freedom and joy. But wait a minute, Pastor. Christ honoring, parent honoring kids sometimes die young, that your days may be long. Well, the Hebrew phrase translated may be long means in the fullness, to the extreme of God's blessing. What he really has in mind here is not length of life, it's quality of life. A long life can be a curse. When dishonoring dad and mom and God bears fruit into our 20s and 30s and 40s. Steve Farrar spoke at his son's high school graduation, and that address was put into print, How to Ruin Your Life by 40. Steve talks in very practical terms about some principles that really speak to the fifth commandment. Let me give you just a few. If you want to ruin your life by 40, ignore the law of cause and effect. Obedience has consequences. Disobedience has consequences. If you want to ruin your life by 40, get off to a bad start. The chapter title is Starting Strong, Finishing Strong, but keep listening. This is not the end of the matter. If you want to ruin your life by 40, get sexually involved before marriage. Farrar expounds four rules for dating. Remove divorce as an option before you marry. Keep your cotton-picking hands to yourself. Don't dress or act cheap. And Christians only marry Christians. Can a bird with a broken wing ever fly again? If the bird comes to God with its brokenness. One more. If you want to ruin your life by 40, develop a mindset that isn't teachable. You know it all. You're in charge. Give it time. Let's recite the commandment together. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. If you're growing up right now in your parent or parents' home, this commandment is a reality check. It's an attitude check. It's really a maturity check. And if you know Christ, it's showtime. If you're honoring them, high five. If you're uncooperative, self-centered, waiting to be served, maybe leading a secret life, it's showtime. If you owe dad or mom an apology, come clean with God. Come clean with them. And for some, honoring parents is about wisdom, grace, and perseverance. Reminding yourself at the later stages of their life or lives why you're doing what you're doing. You're honoring them, and you're honoring and loving and obeying your Savior. The Sovereign Father has given you this ministry, and He will continue to give you the power to bear up under the huge cloud of responsibility and stress. He will honor you. He will reward you. And one day, if Jesus does not come, you'll look back with a great sense of thankfulness and joy for the privilege of serving. Yogi Berra passed away this week. Did you see that? How many of you know who Yogi Berra is? Okay. Some of you know only by rumor. Yogi Berra, good night. He was past 90. I only know him by rumor. Okay. Yogi Berra was one of those individuals that comes along just a few times in a generation. Not only was famous for baseball, but for his yogi-isms. You know, Yogi said, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. Okay. Here's one I like. It ain't over till it's over. So, maybe you got off to a great start, maybe you got off to a bad start, but it's not too late to change course. That's what being saved is about. That's what growing in grace is about. Maybe there's a conversation you need to have. Have it. Some of you have had that conversation. I look at a time in the past when I did. And it is so freeing. It is so liberating. That's the freedom that our God wants us to enjoy and to live in. As we seek by the grace of God to honor dad and mom. In the past, for some of us in the present, and then as we look forward to the future. Let's pray together. All kinds of emotions, all kinds of perspectives, all kinds and categories of memories. Healed wounds, open wounds, tremendous joys. Holy Spirit, you've given us through this law a glimpse into the Father's heart and purposes. And the ball is on our court. We're prompted to remember. We're prompted to act, those of us who can. A new path, a new insight. We thank you for this fifth commandment, an anchor for the soul and the family and the school and the workplace, the government and the nation. Father, we acknowledge our need for grace. Sometimes we need grace to follow. We need grace to obey. Sometimes we need grace to endure. And we need grace for patience, insight, and wisdom. Father, we're so thankful that in giving us this timeless law, that implicit in it is the grace, the power to serve. And Father, we would pray. We are prompted to pray for those among us, for those of our community, others who are serving in Washington, in Charleston, and also in Washington, those who are making policies and laws that impact the family. Father, how is change to come? How are we going to see fresh insight? We pray that you would raise up those at every level of government who understand, at least understand, the importance of family, and who will go beyond just mouthing that, acknowledging that, but will lead us. I pray for each parent here, for grandparents who have input, even for close family friends, those of us who have the great task of leading in times like this. What a privilege it is on this occasion, Father, to talk about these principles. And I would pray, Father, as we are, we're concluding our service in a moment, but across our town and across our county, services are starting. And I pray for every Bible-believing, Bible-preaching pastor for boldness and grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to speak certainly upon the family, if that should be the topic for the day, but to speak boldly the word, whatever the topic, whatever the passage. Father, we have a sense as we are interacting with your word this morning that this is one of the few places that we'll ever hear a passage like this from your word. And we realize the distinctiveness of what it means to be the people of God with a unique calling to be salt and to be light and to be different. So help us all. Help us all as we're going today. And I pray first of all that each one of us would know, and that we know your Son as our personal Savior and Lord. For it is then that we plug into these principles and we plug in to the very power to live them out. And we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said,